This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I did whatever. What is it? Something archive.com
or 23andMe
or Ancestry DNA. So now the government's going to pin me on a crime that I didn't commit, but they're going to use my DNA and say that
See,
I did.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Coach, because somebody gave that to me as a Christmas present 2 years ago, and she's offended that I haven't used it. I said, do you know what they can do with DNA?
Yeah. No, thanks. Yeah, the government
comes
after you.
I'm probably wrong, but...
No. The government comes after you. But in MyHeritage, we have Urbanoskis in our lineage.
I'll take it.
So you and I could be... I mean, if people were to look at us side by side, it's like brothers.
Totally.
Absolute
like
brother. Yeah, you could not pick who was older, who was younger.
Schwarzenegger DeVito.
Exactly like that. All right, guys, let's get this thing rolling. 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the text line 95795. I am excited because it's the weekend and there's so much to discuss. Whether you want to talk football with the Niners. I know people are like, hey, you know what? It's the Niners and they stink. I think that idea stinks. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I think their season's quite a bit more interesting to me now.
I absolutely agree with you. While they've been exposed tremendously for the lack of full talent that they have on the roster.
Yeah, the depth.
I think that there's reason to watch this year. And I especially like 49ers Packers because there's a history of 49ers Packers.
Absolutely. And hey, look, Shanahan and Lynch maneuvered to get C.J. Beathard, right? I mean, sure, you're... Obviously a buzzkill. Jimmy G gets hurt.
Right.
He's done. Everyone was so fired up about that. But if the Jimmy G deal never happened, you can't tell me that there isn't a possibility C.J. Beathard would have entered into this season as a starting quarterback because there's no guarantee they were going to get Kirk Cousins when they tried to. But my point is Shanahan went out of his way, did maneuvers to get this guy because he thinks he works well in his system. So hey, we're getting to watch a different quarterback learn the Shanahan way. It was going to be a quarterback learning the Shanahan way all season long. Now it's just a different guy.
Exactly. And we get to figure out if they know how to determine what talent will do in the NFL because they made maneuvers. You take a guy in the third round, you hope he's going to do some things. So we'll get into that at some point today. I like the Raiders story. I know that somehow is taboo, but they're off to London to play. I'm interested in what they're going to do with the Seahawks. And I'm more intrigued by what head coach John Gruden said during the week about how far away they are, which I think more than tips. Now we don't have to worry about it because he's actually said, well, we're a ways away. I mean, he kind of said it.
John.
I mean, when you go there and say it, right?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, here's the expectation bar.
Not exactly a stop the presses moment, though.
No. No, but when you got to town, you said, we're going to win one here before we leave. And then you're telling me 5 weeks into the season. Well, we
didn't know this was going to be the last year in Oakland. It may very well be.
It might not. That stinks.
It does.
Stinks because I like having football around. I like being able to go to a game, and I just like it more than I want a team to leave, no matter how bad the circumstances are. But there is a question about this team if they're a ways away. What Derek Carr is to the we're a ways away equation. What does he mean to that equation? And is there a place in the NFL that might be better for him that could benefit the ways away Raiders?
I think there's definitely places that would be better for Derek Carr, but is there anybody out there better for the Raiders? I mean,
if you say you're a ways away.
They signed this guy to what at the time was the biggest contract in history. So you've kind of married yourself to the guy.
But he didn't sign him. Remember?
True.
The previous regime did, and if you say as the new guy in charge, hey, we're a ways away, well, maybe that ways away means they might be able to find a place for him that fits and that helps.
Depth.
Yeah, exactly, and helps the Raiders for the future, whatever that happens to be.
Well, it's possible because what John has said about Derek this year, it's like he's been at both ends of the spectrum. One day, you're not sure if he has any belief in him at all. The next day, he's talking about how he made all the right decisions and he's great. Greatest thing since sliced bread. It's like Gruden hasn't decided how he feels about Carr yet.
I agree. I think that when you start to look at a team that's played, I think 20 rookies so far this year. at some point. I think you're starting to see, though, that maybe Derek Carr wouldn't be the answer for the when they're a ways away. So maybe if you do the math that way, maybe you have to start to see what a future can look like and how you get more. He said that we might play more young guys as the season goes on. Certainly not an equation for being successful in the National Football
League. Right. Interesting what you just said. I mean, Derek Carr is the right quarterback for a 12-4 team that's knocking on the door, right? And that's what they were a couple of years ago, and all those things went wrong. But is he not the guy if you've got a lot of work to do? If you're looking at 2-3 years
before you're ready,
is that Derek Carr's role?
Is that the guy? Because, quite honestly, he's going to be standing before an offensive line that isn't that great. And even if you think he's the guy when we're ready in 2-3 years, he's going to be taking a beating for those 2-3 years.
No doubt about it.
All right.
His brother can tell him all about it.
Yeah, that's true. We'll get into that. I'll also get into this.
Real quick.
Yes.
In case you missed it, the Warriors.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, we're going to they are pretty darn good. They are pretty darn good, and I'm going to get there in a second, but can I, you know what, this is how I envision what's going on in the Carolinas right now. I believe probably hanging out in the Carolinas right now. Madison Bumgarner is, what do you do? You tie the hogs? What do you do when you're out there with the horses? He's riding his horse. What does he do?
I don't know. He's branding steer.
So he's branding steer. And then he has a toothpick, and he just pulled it out, and he spit, and he goes, and he's thinking to himself, yep, still best postseason pitcher ever. Puts the toothpick back in. Then he starts knocking those steer a little bit more.
And then he starts going to, the New York Times, the Post, wherever there's going to be rental units available. You think Madison Bumgarner might be on the move, Jim?
You know what?
You think he should be on the move? That's a better question.
There's a greater Giants discussion to get into about that, which I want to do between now and 5 o'clock. You and I together for 4 hours.
We got
a big, big, long excursion today.
I like it.
Huge.
It's a full show. It's a real show.
I know. And hopefully we're going to try to fit 5 pounds of show into a 4-pound bag.
Hey, now.
So let's see if we can do that. But I do think that there's an enormous question about Madison Bumgarner, still the best postseason pitcher all time. As we saw what Clayton Kershaw did the other day. Did anyone know Brandon Woodruff had that kind of power? Sheer muscular power?
Probably only Brandon Woodruff knew that.
I think you're right. Although they were talking about it. Smoltz and Buck were talking about it during the at-bat. They said the guy knows how to handle a bat, and one of his swings, he fouled one straight back, and Buck said, man, I would put Woodruff right up there with Smoltz in his prime swinging the bat. And Smoltz said, I probably can't do what this guy does. Next thing you know, Woodruff hits it out. 409 feet?
Awesome moment for him. Awesome moment in general, but it bums me out every time Kershaw gives it up in the postseason because he really is.
It does me too. It does me
really
too for some reason.
He is a fantastic pitcher, obviously, and he's going to be saddled with that label.
Yep.
Look, he's had some really bad starts that make the numbers look even worse. I'm not trying to say he's been good in the playoffs, but he hasn't been as bad as a lot of people are saying, and when he has an outing like he did yesterday, it just, another Duraflame on.
But he's unraveled in other series. He's never been the guy who's...
Yeah, you're right.
And to say he hasn't been the guy who did what Madison Bumgarner did, nobody has done.
Personalities are so different.
Right, right. But he's for some reason, I like Clayton Kershaw. I'm a Kershaw guy, and I want him to do well. And I know in the Bay Area, we're not supposed to say, we want the Dodgers to do well. I don't mind the Dodgers, but no one on the planet is rooting for Dodger Blue in this series against the Milwaukee Brewers. No one on the planet, other than if you were born in L.A.
Right, yeah.
Fair enough?
Christian Yelich, why did they not go after him instead of Stanton, they being the Giants?
Oh, interesting. Why not go after that guy, an under-the-radar move?
Mm-hmm.
See, there are other Giants questions that I've scribbled down here as well. I know that the Arizona Diamondbacks, do you see where the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to put artificial turf?
No.
At the one-time Bob Bank One ballpark? It's no longer that.
They're putting
artificial turf
into a retractable roof stadium.
Yes.
Why?
They're saying that the way you have to grow grass in the desert in the summer with a retractable dome, it still is not baseball ready enough, that it breaks up, it gets clumpy, it dries out. We have to open the roof to make it, to give it sunshine, natural light to help it grow. Then we got to close the
photosynthesis.
Is that what it is? That's those tough USF biology classes.
Yeah.
That you learn that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they have to maneuver with the roof, the open and closing of the roof, and trying to maintain the grass, it just didn't work. They're going to eliminate 90% of their water bill. And also a lot of their air conditioning bill because, you know, you open it up during the day, it's 110 degrees, you got to close it at night, it gets muggy in there because you're trying to get everything going. So it's going to, well, you know, because we're all about saving the environment. It's going to save the environment to do that. It's going to save them a lot of money to do that.
It took them a long time to figure that out.
Yeah, it did. And I think that there's a stigma, though, that goes with putting in the artificial surface, right? Like your immediate reaction was, what are they doing?
Right.
But they say that it's made better now. That it is very close to what natural grass is.
Is it more player friendly?
That's what they're saying.
Safer.
That's a big part of it.
I'm all for
saying
that.
The way that
I'm for safety. I'm not for poles in the middle of center field.
I am for poles in the middle of center field.
Oh, come on.
That's not going to injure anybody. No one's going to run into a flagpole. How about
how about
Taz Hill when it went in center field in the old Houston?
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, he had the pole, but they also had the steep ramp.
The hill in front of the pole.
Yeah.
So just add to the degree of difficulty.
There were guys who would be chasing a ball into center field, and you know how when you're running on flat ground and then you got to run uphill.
Yeah.
Well, your feet don't. You're not looking down, so your feet don't catch it, and you just biff it. You face first it.
Well, and outfielders, when they're running down balls, you know, they're supposed to run on the balls of their feet because that way your eyes don't bounce as much if your heel is hitting the ground.
It's a good baseball tip for you softball and baseball players out there, you young kids out there. It is a good baseball tip.
But I never understood that. And the Astros said it was paying homage to yesteryear or something. Well, just because it was yesteryear doesn't mean it was a good idea. It was a bad idea back then. It's a bad idea now.
All right, so we'll get into a lot of the baseball. So I just started to mention them. Greinke's going to be available. Maybe Paul Goldschmidt's going to be available. You got Machado out there. You got Bryce Harper out there. What direction are the Giants going with all that? And we're going to get into the Warriors. In fact, why don't we get going with the Warriors when we continue here? Let's step aside and we'll have you jump on board. I want to ask you about a couple of things from last night. One of them, I think it was Bleacher Report was all over Steph leaving the game in the first quarter and pointing to his ankle three times in a conversation with a medical staff member. Did you see any of that?
No.
Okay, that's like one of the things I had to read about the game last night. What about Michael Beasley getting tossed early against Draymond Green?
You just knew those two guys were going to get into
it,
right?
Well, I want to get into that in a second. When
Stevenson
we continue,
as well.
Some Warrior conversation. The guys this morning on Warrior, is it Warriors Weekly?
Warriors This Week.
This Week. I got to get the name right. And so on Warriors This Week, they were getting into some good Warrior stuff, including if you took one of the big four away, how likely would the Warriors still be to win a championship? That's all coming up. Michael Urbanowski, Jim Kozamorski, together with you on a Saturday. Jump in, 888-957-9570. Hit us on the text line. You've been doing a great job, by the way, in the text line. Already text on the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Giants.
Lit up.
We're hitting Warriors, and we're going to have Mark Medina here in the 1 o'clock hour on 95.7 The Game.
Draymond, right side to Thompson. Double clutches a three, but buried it anyway. 14 in the quarter for Clay. He's got a 21-point half.
Now back to 95-7, The Game.
Oh, man. It is going to be a fun run over at Oracle. One more season left. I heard Tim Roy on with the guys today, and I'm getting excited for the start of everything, the ring ceremony, the whole ball of wax. And you got your last little nibble of preseason action last night in San Jose. By the way, I thought the court in San Jose looked very nice. You have problems? You have microphone issues today?
I am having microphone issues. It's all right, though. I'm a professional.
Are you?
I can deal with this on the fly.
Man, that is something.
I feel bad for the Bay Area boys and girls who, when mom or dad said, hey, we got tickets to Lakers and Warriors. We're going to go watch LeBron. Yay! No.
Yeah, you know what? I will.
A lot of resting yesterday. They're tired already, Jim.
Yeah, I know. But I just to speak up, by the way, on LeBron's behalf, I will give him this. Last year, he played every single game in the regular season, all 82. Mm-hmm. Whether he did it because he knew he was never going to play for the Cavaliers again, or whether he did it because he knows he's the biggest name in the game and he has to play when he goes on the road. Like when Michael Jordan was the biggest name.
I heard he did it as a thank you to the league for making the schedule more palatable,
that's
basically.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
and
what
I'm
I
glad
heard.
He did that. He understands his place in the game, and I do think he heard loud and clear when he took time off the previous season that, you know, and he didn't take a lot of time off, but when he would take a little bit, a day or two, that you heard about. When you are the biggest name in the game, certain responsibilities come your way, and I give him a ton of credit for that.
No doubt. And for this to be the year that he goes, you know, start to finish at that age, I mean, it's just, it's incredible that people still aren't willing to say LeBron James is still the best player in the world. He is. I'm sorry. He just is.
Interesting.
Best numbers of his career in terms of the totality, like filling the stat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
That was this past year for LeBron.
Yep.
How does that happen?
It's amazing. He's adjusted his game in a way that's phenomenal and shows why he's the best player of his current era. Now, here's the deal. There's a great question at Pro Basketball Talk today. Can LeBron James and Magic Johnson lure the next big star to the Lakers? And you see what's going on with Jimmy Butler and his problems up in Minnesota. Now, I don't know if he's a big star, but he's certainly an excellent player.
Who, right? Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah, he's a star.
Okay. Well, when he was leaving or wants to leave Minnesota, he had three teams on his list. Knicks, Nets, Clippers. When Kawhi, we're told, Knicks, Nets, Clippers. Paul George, he had his three-show operation where he was going to make his big announcement on where he was going to go, and everyone knew he was going to the Lakers, right? LeBron's going there. He's from L.A. That's his team from childhood. It was time for him to sign with the Lakers, and he signs with Oklahoma City.
All those billboards went to waste.
Boom. The question is, do people who play in the NBA want their star attached to LeBron James?
The evidence would suggest no, wouldn't it?
This sample would say no.
What I don't get, look, I love the collection of characters.
What do you have to gain by playing with him?
What's that?
What do you have to gain by playing with him?
Trip to the finals.
Right, exactly. And if you win, what's the headline?
LeBron leads
the title.
Third team to the finals.
Right, and if you lose in the finals, what's the headline?
LeBron didn't have enough around him.
He didn't have enough around him.
Yep.
So
that's how it was in Cleveland.
I will tell you, I don't think the Lakers are going to have a much harder time acquiring the next superstar.
I agree.
Unless you think Kevin Durant's going to go there.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what this season is all about. Because right now, like if the season had ended 2 days ago and free agency started yesterday, then this would be, we would know crystal clear that, okay, people don't want to play for LeBron or with LeBron.
Right.
We would
but
know
you're
that.
Playing for LeBron. You're right. You had it right the first time.
We would know that. But what if he goes out this year and makes it really, really clear that he's done being the guy with the ball in his hands all the time? He wants to play his position, and obviously he's going to have the ball more than a typical small forward would have. It's going to still run through him. But I think that's what this year has to be about for him and Luke Walton, is to make sure the league knows this is not the talent-starved Cavs team that LeBron needs to put on his back every night. This is not that situation in any way. This is LeBron helping other people get to where he's been and help them get better. It's going to be a tough sell, but he's going to have to try, or they're not going to get anybody.
But I'm always hesitant to say the lesser talent that he had with Cleveland. LeBron James put the Cleveland roster together.
Oh, I know.
Let's not kid. He's the best player of his generation and the worst general manager at the same time, because he's the guy calling the shots. He's the guy saying Tristan Thompson needed to get $98 million, whatever it was, that he's underpaid.
Oh, he got his boys paid.
He got his guys a ring. He's the guy who wanted JR next to him.
Right.
And JR ruined their first game in the finals. I don't think it changes the outcome of the finals.
I don't think so either.
But it certainly, you know, hey, Cleveland wins that first game. At least it's interesting, right? But you
LeBron
knew right
doesn't
was
break
done.
His hand. Oh, wait, that never happened. That was so lame.
But the end result is, we remember in the past when LeBron had that opportunity to leave, and he had all these teams going to talk to him. That's a big deal. Everyone comes in and makes their pitch, and they get to talk to LeBron. That's super great.
Wine and dine.
Well, now he and Magic get to pull up in the limo, and they get to go rap, tap, tapping on the door of whoever that guy is who they've chosen. Is it Anthony Davis with the Pelicans? And we hear he's got his eyes on five teams. That was another story of Pro Basketball Talk today. He's got his eyes on five
teams.
Were
the Lakers one of them?
You know what's interesting? I'm going to see if I can find the list. But the list, it included like all the big markets and the Pelicans. It was like Knicks and Lakers and Clippers and Nets. And then we're going to go with the team that can pay him the most money, the Pelicans. Right. I'll see if I can find that story here. Yeah, here it is. Ready? It's Lakers, Celtics, 76ers, Knicks, and then the Pelicans are on there as well. So those are the teams because it's all the big. So listen, the Celtics are going to be good for probably till my kids' kids start to move on. That's how well they've set up their operation.
That was like those teams you mentioned. That's like the NBA's Final Four when you and I were growing up, right?
Yeah, it was.
That's when all four of those teams were tied.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And the 76ers were in there because they won a title in 84. Yep. Was it 84? I think it's right. 83, 84. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Those were the teams except the Pels. I would love the Pelicans to win it all, by the way.
Who has them?
I would love for them to win it all.
Why are you so into the Pelicans?
Because it's an outside-the-box choice. Yeah. Because I'm a guy... the NBA is goofy. The NBA is a goofy league, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you know Pelicans, the state bird of Louisiana?
I didn't know that, because when they named it, I was like, wow, that is an unusual name. Why would you name them the Pels? And then I you do your homework, and then they tell you. And I actually saw some better mock-ups of what they could have chosen as their logo than the one that they chose. So
water under the bridge. You're going to have to move on from that, Jim.
That's why I haven't purchased my Pelicans gear lately.
Good.
That's the only reason.
Jrue Holiday won me over last spring, by the way. I wasn't sold on him, especially all the chatter coming out of the first round when they knocked off Portland, right?
Okay, yes.
All of a sudden, I'm hearing this guy's one of the top three two-way players in the league. Like, Jrue Holiday, really?
That's a little strong.
But, I mean, people were saying it.
I know.
He did a hell of a job defensively. So I paid extra attention to him when the Warriors took the Pelicans on. And, I'm impressed. Jrue Holiday's a better player than I thought he was.
You know, you look at the Western Conference. Oh, let's look at the NBA in totality. Can you already tell me what's going to happen in the NBA this year?
Yeah, the Warriors are going to beat the Celtics in the finals.
Oh, that's pretty much everyone's guess, right?
That was my guess last year, by the way.
You might see. And you know what? If Kyrie Irving doesn't get hurt.
Gordon Hayward.
You know. And if you keep Gordon Hayward out of the equation, only in that they were still great without him.
Yeah, right.
But then you add them both this year and another year for Jason Tatum, they're going to be a heck of a team.
And Brad Stevens got a year smarter.
Yeah, he did.
He's a hell of a coach.
He's
an
outstanding coach. By some accounts, I think it was the general manager survey, I think they picked Brad Stevens as the best guy, which is quite intriguing because when he came out of Butler, no one thought that. And then he ends up working out pretty well with the Boston Celtics, which I think is really a cool story.
And it's so Celtics, it's old school Celtics, to have discovered this guy. He basically exploded on the scene by leading in mid-major into...
Two Final Fours?
Two Final Fours in a row, right?
Yeah,
and
back
one
to back.
And then made it to the finals one of those years. Yeah.
One or two.
So you take this guy from a relatively small school, he's a relative no-name, and he goes to Boston, and within a few years, people are talking about him being the greatest coach in the league. That's amazing. That's Danny Ainge again.
I know. Maybe the second best former player into executive in the history of sports, the first one being who? The logo, Jerry West. The greatest former player turned executive in the history of sports.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong case. I think Ainge is on the Mount Rushmore, though. Ainge would be on the Mount Rushmore. Unless you want to go back to who's the old...
That's a tough one.
Who's the old Philadelphia A's manager used to wear a suit? Connie Mack. Unless you want to go to Connie Mack. Former player manager.
That's a tough one because general managers, it depends on what you're looking for. Like some people might think this GM's doing a great job. Another person might think he's doing a terrible job. It's
what's the definition?
Some people I don't think even understand everything that a GM does. I spent 3 days kind of just shadowing around the A's front office. And
really?
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that they do that people just don't think. I mean, it's not just the draft and the trade deadline. It's actually a full year job.
Did you shadow for news purposes or did you shadow because this was a consideration of career choice?
For news purposes. It was when Grady Fuson was the scouting director his last year.
All right. That sounds like fun. We'd like to get into that in a little bit. Let's get into more Warriors with someone who, he's right there on the scene. Bay Area News Group. He's their Warriors guy.
Bang!
Mark Medina joining us. Jim Cosimore and the great Michael Urban here as well on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Mark, how's it going? Was it a wild one down there in San Joe last night? Are you still sweating from the excitement of preseason action?
Buzzing from the playoff intensity.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, for a game that didn't have a lot of the star players, right, with LeBron James and Kevin Durant, it was still entertaining even with preseason basketball. It wasn't necessarily good basketball, but when you're seeing two ejections with Michael Beasley and Lance Stevenson and the guys trash talking back and forth, you wonder, okay, this will make some good basketball for when the games actually count.
Can I just stir it up? Did anyone write the story that with no LeBron and no KD, that they planned that together as another sign of what the future is going to look like?
Yeah.
They are working together, Mark.
Yes,
they're trying to
stay fresh so when they're teammates for next season,
yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly. How much is that storyline going to follow this team as you travel throughout the league? How many times do you think that thing is going to come up in the shoot around scrum? In what cities are you most looking forward to hearing that question?
As far as Kevin Durant's pending free agency, I think a lot, because there is that unknown around the team of what he's going to do. And, you know, if I had to handicap, you know, the most intriguing teams would be New York, because there's been suggestions that would be good for him because of the market. His business manager, Rich Kleiman's from the area, and the idea of adding to your legacy that you're the guy that turned the Knicks franchise around, I mean, that's pretty enticing. Maybe OKC, does he pull what LeBron did where he goes back to the original franchise and makes peace with all the people that burned his jerseys? Never know, but it's very interesting when you circle it on to the Warriors, because you talk to some people and they acknowledge the unknown of, hey, I'm optimistic because we're the Warriors and we've had so much success and everything has been good, but who knows? And then others are thinking that, you know, media types like myself are making a big deal out of this and saying, look, Kevin's always signed 1-year deals with us ever since he joined. I don't know why this year is any different. So it'll be interesting to see which perspective is the right one there.
Hey, Mark, any of the youngsters really open your eyes, maybe exceed your expectations? I'm so happy for Damian Jones. I know that doesn't mean he's going to be the starter for the whole year, but he's getting the nod on Tuesday night, and this is a big year for him. Just like, I think you and I talked about this, Mark, on the floor after the NBA Finals last year, Steve Kerr sought out the young center and said, hey, next year is your year. And it wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just, you know, I got to touch base. This is what coaches do. I'm going to check that box and move on. He knows that Damian Jones has a chance to be a special player, and he's just now starting to realize it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when you're asking which young guy stood out the most, I would have to say Damian, just by virtue of the fact that with how meaningless preseason games are, there was actually some meeting with Damian Jones,
sure,
where he established himself as the starting center, at least for opening night against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday at Oracle Arena. Makes sense from a matchup standpoint because, you know, Steven Adams is a pretty physical guy and they need that size to counteract it. But I think it also speaks to what Damian showed in preseason, where all those tools that the Warriors were intrigued with when they drafted him at number 30 in the 2016 NBA draft, it's come to fruition. They didn't really know if they would have it because he was very raw, undeveloped. He had some health issues as far as injuries go. So he was spending a lot of time in Santa Cruz the last 2 years. So this was kind of the first you know, set of games where the Warriors actually could see who this guy truly is. And not only is it important for the Warriors with having a comfort level of naming him a starter, but there's some tangible deadlines here. I mean, they have until October 31st to decide if they're going to make his option for next season guaranteed. And obviously, I think this is going to be a huge factor into making that decision.
Hey, Mark, have you gone down to Santa Cruz to see anything down there yet? Have you seen a game down there?
No, actually,
I want to go. I really want to go.
Tailgate, three of us.
Yeah, I know. I'm not kidding. I really want to go.
Virtue of life as an NBA beat writer, you know, I'm on the road for all the 41 road games, so a lot of the Warrior games keep me busy enough. But as far as keeping track of the progress, I mean, the main guys last year was obviously Quinn Cook and Damian Jones because, you know, they were also at the Warriors facility, and there was a thought of, okay, what will they mean for our future long term?
All right. Hey, also, help me out with this one thing. Medina or Medina?
Medina.
Okay, I want to make, because there's a Medina College, you know. Did you know that? There's a Medina College.
I'll borrow something that Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier has given me. He's given me the nickname Funky Cole Medina. He says,
good one,
it's the best nickname ever, and I have to tell him I respectfully disagree. Isn't Q the best nickname ever?
That's pretty good, but I like Funky Cole Medina. I think that's a pretty darn good one. I'll put it on my
rush. He was saying that they might play play that song at some point in practice when we're walking in.
That would be hilarious. That, you know what? They respect you if they're going to do that. They respect.
There you go.
Them,
well, they haven't played it yet, so maybe they're, I'm jumping the gun there.
Holding it out for a big game.
Hey, Mark, very quietly, which is fitting because he does most everything pretty quietly, Klay Thompson's been dynamite in the preseason. Yeah. And I know these stats and all that doesn't really matter much, but I was speaking with one of your colleagues on the Warriors beat, and he basically confirmed something that I threw out to him, because most guys that, you know, the all-stars, they go into the offseason and they'd like to bring something back from the offseason, you know, a new trick, something up their sleeve. Klay, for the past 3 years, has talked about wanting to be a better rebounder. Is he doing that this year, too?
Yeah, I think the goals are fairly similar. Wants to be a better rebounder, wants to be a better free throw shooter, wants to get to that 50-40-90 club. And Klay hasn't reached those goals per se, but it's not like he's not playing well. I think he's kind of microanalyzing it. But his game is all about being efficient and being a very good shooter. So I think that ties together with the 50-40-90, getting some more trips to the foul line, because that's some easy points. It also shows that he's playing a little bit more aggressively. I think the rebounding part is interesting, because it also shows that he's not just a shooter. He's all about, you know, being a team guy and being a two-way player. And I think that is one of many examples why the Warriors have always been befuddled. Why isn't Klay Thompson yet been named on an all-defensive team? I mean, their theory is Klay isn't a self-promoter. He only does interviews reluctantly, and, you know, he's known for such a great shooter. But I actually wrote about this last season, and when I was talking to people around the league, everyone was scratching their head, because a lot of times he's the guy who's guarding the opposing team's best player while also doing what he usually does as far as being the second splash brother to Steph Curry.
Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group, the Merc, joining us here. Bang. The bang. Joining us here, 95.7 The Game. All right, by far the Warriors are the favorite to get to the finals and win the finals. But if I were to ask you, Mark, take one of the big four away. You take any one of the big four you want away. Where would the Warriors be as far as the teams to beat in the West? If you took, and you could take Draymond, you could take Klay, anybody, would the Warriors still be the team to beat in the West?
Oh, man, I don't want to play semantics with you, but the reason why is it's such a difficult question to answer. So it has to be, they're without one of those all-stars for the entire season, or just a stretch of a season?
Let's say right around the all-star break, unfortunately.
Broken leg, he gone.
Draymond Green, yeah, turns his ankle and just is unable to come back. It's a high ankle sprain and it doesn't work. Or Klay Thompson right around the all, let's call it somewhere mid to late February, an injury occurs.
Okay, and they're not going to be able to come back for the playoffs.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that the one that you don't want to have that happen to is Steph Curry, because not only is he a good shooter, but he is what Kevin Durant said last season is our system. Like, he makes everything go in terms of his shooting, the gravity. He knows how to find open teammates because he's, you know, being picked up at half court. There's a lot of open guys. That would be the one that would be detrimental. And that's not to say if they're without Klay or Kevin or Draymond that they wouldn't be able to, but it's very hard to replicate what Steph does with all those things. I would say the second one would be Draymond Green. He's not their best player, but I think you can make the case that at times he's their most valuable player, because I can't think of anyone in the NBA that does all the things well that Draymond Green does well. We all know them by now after watching the Warriors these past 4 years with his defense, his basketball IQ, his intensity. He's still a scoring threat and at times an outside shooting threat, but also just being the guy that on a team that's all about, you know, joy and teamwork and everyone being positive. He's the guy that, you know, gets under people's skins mostly for the better. And I think when you have that edge, the Warriors play a lot more motivated, and defensively they're a lot sharper. So if those two guys were out after from February beyond, yeah, I think they would be pretty vulnerable.
Hey, Mark, Jacob Evans, haven't heard a whole lot about him in the preseason, and probably a good thing for him. Rookies are supposed to be seen and not heard, but what's his developmental arc been? Is he progressing to the staff's liking?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, at the same time, I don't think they're overreacting because he is young, and they don't want to derail his confidence, and they also want to take into account all the things that a rookie goes through. But there's no denying it. He has not shot the ball well, whether it's been in summer league play or preseason games. The fortunate thing for him is that these games really don't matter. But the thing is, you have to show some kind of sign that, you're improving those weaknesses. And at the same time, the main thing, the reason why the Warriors drafted him at 28 in this year's draft was his defense, his versatility. And I don't want to say that he hasn't played good defense, but I think to your point of, you know, he hasn't really been seen or heard much, I would think it'd be good for him to be seen and heard on the defensive end of, hey, if nothing else, you're showing some kind of presence. It's never been bad enough where he's screwing things up, but I really haven't seen too much. But fortunately for him, it is early, but unfortunately for him, he's got a lot of work cut out for him.
All right, Mark, thanks for giving us the insights. I know you're looking forward to the 82-game grind before you get to the real season, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been used to this kind of calendar from Warriors and Lakers. It's never a dull moment. It's a long season, so it's not like I'll feel overwhelmed. I love when this time of the year, because this is when the games start.
Yep, it starts for real, and it's going to be a good time. And I think opening night's going to be fantastic with a ring ceremony. It's always fun, and hopefully it ends up being another epic season, because I know it's just, you know, in the media, it's fun watching it unfold before you, and you're going to have a front row seat. So, Mark, thanks for the insights, pal. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. There you have it. A couple of things to go on on this one. So if one of the core four were to leave or be gone at some point this year, would you still have the Warriors as the favorite in the West, or the favorite to win it all, however you want to term it out? You want to think about that? We'll step aside.
Yeah, I do want to think
about
that.
And you can jump on that.
Tough one for me.
888-957-9570. Jump on board. Let us know what you think on this. If
I was going to say Patrick McCaw, but...
that could be. Like, you never know. If one of the core four... Is it because everyone thinks, listen, we just say it like it's fact. It's gospel. The Warriors are winning it, and we're going to have our parade, and they're going to get their fourth, and then they're, how can you leave four? But if you lose one of those guys, because if we know who's going to win it all, why doesn't everyone just tank and wait until this cycle is over for the Warriors? And because I want to get into teams that aren't tanking, teams that are going for it. And you say, well, why the heck would Houston go for it? That's all coming up, all right? If you lose one of those guys during the season, if Steph has an ankle injury sometime in February and isn't Steph.
So let's make that specific. What they suffer a season-ending injury. It's not like a trade or...
Right.
Okay.
Right. Remember when they didn't win against Cleveland and Steph got hurt?
Right.
That's what it took for this team not to
suspended.
Win. Well, yeah, exactly. All that. Also, so don't go anywhere. Join us. Jump on 95795. All right, tell us what you think, because Michael Urban will tell us what he thinks when we continue here. And I'm Jim Cosmore, and I'm just asking questions. I'm just standing in the background. I'm going to
ask. You're doing a hell of a job at it, too, Jim.
Well, I'm trying. I'm trying. Thank you. Herbs and Coz with you, 95.7 The Game.
Andre with the rebound. Here come the Dubs. Andre gets around Caldwell Pope, fakes and goes up left-handed, missed it. Jim home! Durant flying down the lane with a two-hand slam. A little elevation sensation for KD. Warriors 27, Lakers 21.
The Game. I'm loving this song. This might be my ringtone. So this is KD and LeBron. It ain't easy. This is not bad. Really, how can you tell? Like, I've got some people saying it's not good. I think this is fine. I mean, did he get hard? Did he throw some swears in there? You got to get hard. Let it roll. I think the people of the Bay Area need this. Go talk to the heart and you can see past the visual. Look, sticking to the game and I ain't got a bad smelling on my back and I can carry it. I'm bobbing my head up and down. I'm tapping my toe. I say Merlin on my back. Hey, I'm a suburban guy, but I can get down with this. With this. Is that LeBron? Oh. Okay. On the hook. That's the term, on the hook. So this is a sweet...
That's what the kids are saying.
That's the hook? What does the hook mean in the rap song? The chorus on the hook. Okay. Dude, this song ain't bad. Why are people getting down on KD for this awesome rap jam? This is some lit jams.
You know what you need to do? You need to go into your bathroom, turn your lights out, turn the music up. That's the best way to absorb a song.
Candles?
No candles. Dark.
I'm pro candle.
Dark.
When I bathe, I have candles scented, sir.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I can't be mad at that. Maybe possibly a glass of wine with me.
Yeah, now it's getting creepy.
Is it?
Yep.
888-957-9570. You can hit us on the text line, 95795. It ain't easy. That's KD.
Let me hear a little bit more of this.
And LeBron. We've been playing it for like 6 minutes. Listen, this isn't bad.
Yeah, this is KD. Look, sticking to the game and I ain't out of bounds. Maryland on my back and I can carry it when I'm out of town.
I say Maryland on my back and I can carry it when I'm out of town. So I thought that was LeBron on the hook. LeBron's not on the hook.
Who is on the hook?
Why isn't LeBron? I thought LeBron was supposed to sing in this. He's later?
He's later. He's got bars later.
Should we hear LeBron? Because they're going to be together next year.
I think we should
hear
LeBron, too.
Will this be the song they play when they get introduced together as Lakers next year?
Oh, so cute.
It ain't easy on the path I'm on, but put the world on my back because I'm that strong. Long journey I've been on from the very start.
This is LBJ,
the
way I die,
this isn't bad.
With this iron heart, no chance to make it out. That's what they said, but look at me, I'm here. Ball set and spread from 602.
Let me ask you this.
I like the beat.
I do too. I like the whole thing. Let me ask you this. Except the swears. I know KD's getting all hard now, so he's got to rock some swears every once in a while. But I think this is fine. I think they're doing a great job. Who's the better combination entertainer? LeBron or supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Shaq.
I think Shaq is. I don't even think it's close. Between him and LeBron. Right?
Nobody's close to Shaq for all he did. Come on, man. He had a platinum-selling rap album.
Shazam?
It was actually good.
Shazam or Kazam? Kazam or Shazam? Kazam.
Good question. The movie, right? Where he was a genie.
It was Kazam.
Right.
Kazam when he was a genie. Yes. His rap stuff was very good.
He hosted Shark Week this year.
Look at that. He transformed the desk on TNT.
You've made it when you get tabbed to host Shark Week. Used to be Saturday Night Live. Now it's Shark Week.
You think so? That's the big thing?
Yeah.
LeBron was pretty good on SNL, though.
He is good. He wants to be an actor when he's done playing.
Well, that's going to be tough. That's a tough stretch. But, you know, go for it. I say go for it.
He played himself very well in that one movie with, was it Hader and Amy Schumer?
I didn't see it. I told you to get on the text line at 95795, like the 347. Do you know where the error code 347 is?
I don't.
Why are you talking about injury, jackass? I think he's talking about me. And he included an E in jackass. So I think that's French, which is classy.
Jackassé?
Yeah, jackassé. That's where he did.
How is it spelled?
Jack. Common form Jack. Uh-huh. Common form ass with an E.
An E, yeah.
At the end of it.
Jackassé.
Yes, exactly. I think that's French, which is classy.
Very nice.
So I appreciate him trying to upcharge us here with the French pronunciation. The reason I'm saying that is because in the NBA, there's a common theory that the Warriors are going to win the championship. We all agree Warriors are going to win the championship. I have stated on this show, I've already staked my place on Broadway in Oaktown by putting two lawn chairs out there. If you go out there, you'll see them near 10th and 11th Street.
So careful out there on that limb, picking the Warriors to win it all.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? So that gets me to the point of, well, if you're doing that, and everyone agrees, why are teams like the Rockets continuing to think about beating the Warriors? Why are the Celtics loading up as much as they are in order to beat the Warriors?
Because the Celtics got a shot. I mean, the Celtics have, positionless basketball. They're like a younger version of the Warriors right now. And that's the only team that scares me in the NBA in terms of a challenger to the Warriors' throne. I don't think anybody in the West. Look, the Rockets, God bless them. God bless Daryl Morey for coming out and saying he's obsessed.
I love Daryl Morey.
But Carmelo,
you know what? But they had little options. And
I look at it as,
I'll tell you something.
I look
old
at it as Ariza out, Carmelo in. Ariza is a far more useful player at this point
for
in his
what
career.
They do, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I will say, and I know it's a preseason game, they looked pretty damn good against Memphis last night. I was sampling a little of that game while I was watching some baseball last night, while I was watching a little Friday night football, while I was, you know, I didn't see much Warrior Laker.
Yeah, once I heard...
I was doing a lot of commuting last night as
once
well.
Once I heard, like, nobody was playing, I went from being all in, and it was going to be the 4.5 hour Watch the Warriors with Herbs experience, because I rewind everything. Wow. I didn't do that at all. I taped it. I'll go back and look at a little bit of it. But I say live, I probably saw about 8 minutes of live basketball.
So then my question is, why are teams loading up? And you know why they're loading up? Some might feel, Boston might feel they could beat the Warriors. Still a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one small chip in their ecosystem, all of a sudden the Warriors are vulnerable. You take any one of those big four away, and I think they're vulnerable. And yes, I think Houston can compete with them if you lose Klay Thompson. I'm not saying you're going to.
And we know they can win it without Boogie.
That's why you hang around. You can win without Boogie. And then you know what? I've gotten to the point where I'm not expecting a lot from DeMarcus Cousins.
I'm expecting him to be great.
I'm not expecting a lot.
It's a walk year for him. He's got to be great. If but he wants to go get that max
coming,
deal.
Nah, you're 7 foot tall and 265 and you're coming back from an Achilles situation.
I know.
You know, look at Richard Sherman and how he's coming back. Playing fine, but is he the Richard Sherman with the same spring?
We don't know because they won't throw to his side of the field because they know the other side of the field is really easy to move things
around.
Yeah,
exactly. So for the Warriors, if you lose one, I think you're vulnerable. That's your only fear coming into the season. Fair enough? Because this is going to be another year. It's very, very tough to build a what are you afraid of on the Golden State Warriors.
Do you think... losing one, any one of those four, does that make them not the favorite?
Yes. I think if you lose one of those four, you are not the favorite. I think the Boston Celtics are the favorite.
They're still favorites.
They're still the favorites if you lose one of the four.
Curry would be really, really difficult. That's the one that I hedge on because the guy just makes everything in that offense make sense. And there's nobody else. No backup, no starter in another city who can quite do what Steph does. I'm not saying that what KD does and Klay and Draymond aren't spectacular. They are. Once upon a time, I was thinking Draymond might be the most indispensable of the four. But now, look, it's Curry, man. Even if he's not shooting the ball well, you got to respect it. He spaces the floor, whether he's ice cold or white hot.
You gotta respect him no matter what happens. I know I heard JD and Steny talking about it today. You know, the other game, he comes down, he gets fouled twice in the first quarter, trying to shoot threes, gets fouled a couple of times, boom, that's six free throws. From there, you can't guard him anymore.
Right?
He's an unguardable player because of his distance and his depth, so you just can't do it. But if you lose one of the other two, a Klay or a Draymond, is that enough to open up a space for some team? And I say yes, because I don't know what the fill-in is going to be. I'm not as convinced as everyone else about Jones or McCaw or Looney or whoever it is that they decide to pull out of Santa Cruz.
I say yes as well, because those two guys you mentioned, Klay and Draymond, they're more known for their, or as much known for their defensive work as anything, and that's what makes the Warriors, I mean, they talk about it all the time. Their offense starts with their defense. Get stops, get out and run. Get stops, get out and run.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station. From the 707, Durant will never leave, because if he does, he knows they will replace him with an Anthony Davis, etc., and he, along with the league...
With a what?
With an Anthony Davis, and he... along with the league, will still not be able to win a championship. He knows he has to stay, or it will look like they never needed him when they won without him.
Mm. Interesting.
I'm having a harder time building a scenario for him to stay than I am for...
Really?
Yeah, and here's one of my scenarios is, he is so phenomenal right now at saying bombastic, hard to follow and weird things to the media. That I can only imagine he's trolling everyone to think, yeah, everywhere I go could be my new home.
Right.
Could be my new home. And in the end, he ends up staying right here.
I can't imagine...
walking into the center Chase.
First of all, he was the only player at the groundbreaking for Chase Center. And some people say, well, that didn't mean anything. He was still relatively new to the
team. Can I tell you why he did that?
Why?
Because he wants to be an owner in the future, and he wants to know what it takes to get a new building. Because wherever he goes, he's going to have to build a new building.
Right.
By the time he's an owner.
In Seattle.
You think that's the place?
That sure seems like it.
In my heart of hearts, I want him to own the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Really?
I want him to buy the Oklahoma City Thunder and run
awesome.
That franchise. In my heart of hearts, it's what I want to happen. But I think you're right about Seattle, because he ends up going there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're rebuilding that, you know, they're redoing Key,
yeah.
But there are old city rules in effect. Actually, they're new city rules that the refurbishment, it's a historic landmark.
Okay.
So you can't just wipe it out, start from scratch.
Right.
You have to keep the ceiling. You can't move there's a crown on top of Key Arena. You can't move it to refurbish. So all of the extra infrastructure and work they have to do is really tougher to do. But they're already saying that a building that is redone for a hockey team that it looks like Seattle's going to get, in 6 or 7 years, if the NBA decides that they want to put an extra team in there and they give it to Seattle, that building will be inadequate for an NBA franchise.
It will be.
Yeah, you will have to build another arena in Seattle.
So where does Seattle Storm play? Do they play in the
Key? They play in this Key Arena.
They do?
Yeah.
And how many does it hold?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.